Taye Adeola is the Minister for Youth and Education at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Saboke, Ilorin. The role he has played for over 18 years. He currently serves as the Chairman of the Music Committee of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. His pastoral ministry has spanned over 20 years. He is a graduate of the Obafemi Awolowo University, Ile-Ife, Nigerian Baptist Theological Seminary, Ogbomoso, the Ecumenical Institute, Bose, Switzerland, and the University of Ilorin, where he obtained his first degree, master's degree, certificate in ecumenical studies, and doctoral degrees, respectively. He is a vast minister and instructor of music, with many distinguished musical compositions, literary works, published articles, and books to his name. He is currently a lecturer of music at the Department of Performing Arts, University of Ilorin, and a lecturer at the Faculty of Music at the Nigerian Baptist Theological Seminary, Ogbomoso. Reverend Taye is a pastor, a teacher, an author, and strategic leader with many years of exemplary leadership and consistency with the Word of God. He is married to Pastor Mrs. Fomilayo Adeola, and their marriage is blessed with godly children. God changes. Join me, Reverend Taye Adeola.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Please sit down. Let me congratulate the set man over this assembly and his wife, to whom God has given this vision. I am particularly grateful to God for God's grace upon his life. And I want to thank God for what God is doing through him since the Lord led us to release him to come to Believers Heritage Baptist Church. I want to say that we are proud of Reverend Bolaji Odejide. Maybe you didn't hear that. We are very proud of Pastor Bolaji Odejide. And we thank God. And I say to people in Believers Heritage, and indeed everyone, that you haven't seen nothing yet. The guy is just beginning. And he's going higher. In the name of Jesus. So I thank God for this privilege to come share on this theme, leading and blending multi-staff in tough times. I see that the audience is not only ministers, I mean those who are already in the ministry. The audience also comprises of the end time army that is being raised, who at one point or the other, by the grace of God in the future, may also venture into multi-staff ministry. But whether you are in the ministry in the context of the church, or you are in the ministry outside of the context of the church, in the secular space, I believe there's something for you to learn and to take home. As a background, I'll read two passages of the scripture. First, I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first 9 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then I'll read from Acts of Apostles chapter 6, 1 to 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 9. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Acts of Apostles, chapter 6, 1 through to 7. Acts, chapter 6, 1 to 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayers and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. Let's say a word of prayer to God. Holy Spirit, we wait on you for instruction and for impartation. Speak expressly and grant us insight, grant us revelation, grant us understanding. Show unto us that which is your mind, that which is your heart concerning this matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leading and blending multi-staff in tough times. Now there are three key things there. The matter of leading, and not just leading, but leading and blending. And there's also the matter of 12 times, which is relative, or 12 times which will be defined by each context and each person's peculiarity. But leadership is about giving direction. Leadership also has a dimension of blending the team. Leadership is about being at the forefront to give direction in terms of where God's people ought to be by the inspiration of God. It's like charting a path and ensuring that God's people do not lose that focus of understanding, and at every point in time not lose the impetus of what it takes to get to where they must get to. We are talking about multi-staff, which is a matter of reality in the point in time of ministry that the church of God cannot run away from. That the church of God, that the ministry cannot but venture into, but which we have discovered have also become challenging or problematic to some people who have entered into it, therefore making some people making up their mind not to venture into multi-staff ministry. But I must say that multi-staff ministry is one dimension of ministry that if you want to grow and you want to manage growth, you will have to venture into. Of course, in the secular, there is multi-staffing. It is like division of labor. Each person dwelling in their area of strength, occupying the space that they have capacity to occupy, and contributing to the totality of the growth of the system. And the church of God, if the church would grow, would not run away from this. Now, the two passages that I read, first, Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, to the people in Corinth, and then the experience of the disciples in the early church, which led to the choice of men, the deacons, to engage in certain aspects of the ministry. Now, dwelling on Acts of Apostle, the Bible says there was complaint from some quarters. Some people are being neglected. This was because growth was evident. People were becoming more. More people were added to the church. Alright? And therefore, certain aspect of ministry that needed to be catered for was left uncatered for. And in order to now cater for it, they needed to raise men. So the disciples said, no, we cannot leave the ministry of the word and begin to serve table. Let's give the serving of table to some people. So they chose men to occupy that ministry. Now in Corinthians, Apostle Paul was writing to the church, and he said to the church, the Lord has brought me your way, myself and my brother Apollos, and each of us occupying our space, doing our ministry, working the way God is leading us to work. It has now generated problem of division in the church. And so Apostle Paul said, I cannot deal with you as mature people. I'm still writing to you as babies. I'm feeding you with milk. Why? Because you are carnal. And you will see the definition of carnality in that 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The definition of carnality in that context is when there is division. So he said, as long as there is division among you, you are carnal. You are behaving as mere men. Some of you say, I belong to Paul. Others say, I belong to Apollos. Why are you pitching tents? Why are you dividing the church? You are carnal. Now, this is because some people line up behind Paul. He's our man in the multi-staff ministry. Some other people line behind Apollos. He's our man. Oh, we prefer the eloquence of Apollos. Oh, we prefer the in-depth teaching of Apostle Paul. Oh, we prefer the human relation attribute of Apollos. No, Apostle Paul does not have this and that. And they began to pitch tents. And so Paul said, you are being carnal. And this is what we find in ministries today, in churches today, when the multi-staff ministry is not well blended, and when there is no good leadership in terms of this dimension of ministry. Now, growth is a sign of life. Anything that has life is expected to grow. When there is growth, it means there is life. Now, the church of God is an organ that also grows. And so, if the church will grow, and growth will come and bring its attendant demands, multi-staff ministry is one instrument that can be engaged. Multi-staff ministry is an instrument to engage, to project growth. It's also the same instrument that you must project, you must engage to manage growth. If the church does not project and the church is not strategic in planning to look at the different dimensions of the need of the church, spiritual, need of the church, social, need of the church. Every dimension of the need of the church needs men and women that are key and that are trained and that are equipped to be able to execute these dimensions of the church. And so, if a growing church will continue to grow, the church must respond to the need of the church appropriately. And that need of the church will often be occasioned by the growth that will be evident, that will be experienced, whether physical or spiritual. If the church will respond appropriately, then the church will have to venture into the area of multi-staff ministry. Like I said, multi-staff ministry is like saying division of labor in economics now. That somebody is good at something and you allow him to do it. Now, what is the need for multi-staff ministry? The multi-staff ministry is necessary and it is needed because ministry or ministry work is multi-level. Ministry work is multi-dimensional. Ministry work is multi-faceted. There are different angles, different levels, different dimensions, different faces of ministry. And therefore, it requires or it demands specialized calling, specialized skills, specialized giftedness for efficiency and productivity. Now, because of the multifacetedness of the ministry, because of the multi-levels of the ministry, because of the multiple dimensions of the ministries, different men that are in these different dimensions must be engaged to occupy. Now, if this is not done, you will see that certain aspects or dimensions of the ministries will be emphasized or overemphasized, and certain dimensions will be downplayed, will be de-emphasized. And the truth is that
If Pastor Bolaji is the only pastor in Believers Heritage Baptist Church, the emphasis of his ministry and the dimensions of what the ministry will enjoy will be only the aspects of his gifting, of his grace, of his capacity. And he is not a totality of all gifts or of all grace. No man, even if you are a person that can multitask, like many of us can, even when you can multitask, for example, I can sing. For example, I can play some musical instruments. I can do some other things. I can preach. I can teach. Alright? In the same ministry, I cannot be the drummer and the keyboardist at the same time, even though I can play the two. Even if I can play the saxophone, I cannot hang the saxophone on my neck and be playing the keyboard. When my hands are busy on the keyboard, I cannot play the saxophone because I still need my hands to play the saxophone. So somebody will have to do it. So I cannot be teaching and at the same time expect that solemn music will be going on the keyboard that is as it is on now, even though I can play the keyboard. So you will discover that even when you are a multitasking person, you cannot do everything at the same time. So you are shortchanging the church by not engaging. You are shortchanging the ministry by not engaging or allowing people who are gifted in those areas to occupy and occupy fully. So it is for efficiency. It is for productivity. So that is the need for multi-staff ministry. Now, when the needed workforce is in place with the quality of manpower that are required, adequate attention will be given to various ministries of the church. So, I cannot overemphasize, and you'll hear me saying this statement again, that multi-staff is both projecting growth and managing growth. It is both for projecting growth, envisaging growth, planning for growth, and when the growth comes, for you to also manage the growth, as we find in the early church. Now, what are some challenges with multi-staff ministries that can culminate into tough times that we are talking about? That can, you know, become difficult. I put some of such challenges there. There could be more. Number one, the problem of nomenclature. The problem of how do you define the role? Now, the pastors that are here in the ministry, I see a number of Baptist pastors here. You have the challenge of how do you define? Now, let me share an experience. This happened just 2 weeks ago. I had to draw a program, a funeral program. And somebody from Lagos, a pastor, called to say, this person was a member of our church in Lagos. I want to come for the funeral. Please put me on program. So I sent him a message. Just tell me what I should write, how I would describe you on the program. So he sent me a message, a text message, said, Reverend Dr. So-and-so, senior pastor, so-and-so church. He sent the text. Like 3 minutes after, he sent another text. Please write, Reverend Dr. So-and-so, lead pastor. I prefer this to senior pastor. Nobody raised any question. He was the one that sent senior pastor. He was the same person that sent lead pastor. Don't put senior pastor. Now, you see the challenge of how do you call the person? It's a challenge. And that is one of the problems that generates from multi-staff. Now, when somebody says, I am senior pastor. Now, again, seniority is relative. That's the truth. Seniority is relative. Because you are somebody senior in different dimensions. Okay? By the grace of God, I have a PhD. And I have been in ministry for some time. Alright? There are some people that are my senior in ministry. They don't have PhD. But that I have a PhD does not make me their senior. They are still my senior. Okay? Even though, because they will call me Reverend Doctor, they still respect me as Reverend Doctor. But that does not make me their senior. It could also be that because I have a PhD, or by reason of opportunity, I now find myself pastoring a church, and somebody who is my senior in the ministry is serving under me. And I'm carrying myself as senior pastor, and I'm behaving as senior. These are part of the things that generate problem in multi-staff ministry. So there's this challenge. Do we call them senior pastor? Do we call them lead pastor? Do we call them church pastor? They call them different things. And each church will make up their mind. What they will call. Do we call them associate pastor? Do we call them junior pastor? Do we just call them ministers? I mean, those who are not senior. These are challenges. All right. But if you are going to lead and you are going to blend a multi-staff ministry, even when you are the senior by position, it does not, even if by position you are senior, by the time you enter ministry, you are senior, by the time you are in the church, you are senior, don't behave senior. You better learn that it is just a privilege. It's just an opportunity. So that's one of the challenges. Another challenge is the problem which Apostle Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians, the spiritual problem. If there is no spiritual problem, there's not going to be a problem about I'm senior, I'm lead, I'm this, I'm that. The problem is spiritual. The problem is our humanity that has not been thoroughly dealt with. And when that humanity is not dealt with, carnality will always set in. So when you have people not broken, when you have people who allow carnality to rule them, to drive them, there will always be problem in multi-staff ministry. It's a spiritual problem. Now, multi-staff ministry is a test of our spirituality. Pastors, whether you are the lead or the senior or the minister in charge or the church pastor, or you are an associate or you are a minister or you are whatever they call you, it is a test of your spirituality. For you to be able as leader walk in humility, for you to be as follower walk in humility and be able to relate with others, it is a spiritual matter. So when our spirituality is not intact and we are unable to work and to blend with others, that is a problem. Another challenge is financial. When you keep one pastor, it's different from when you keep two, three, four. When you have only one secretary, It's different from when you have an executive secretary, you have an admin secretary, and you have a typist, and you have, you know, because multi-staff is not only about pastors. Okay? You also have other support workers. In churches, you have janitors, you have cleaners, you have, you know, people doing different things. So, if you are going to maintain more than one staff, there's a financial challenge. As we are in Nigeria today, everyone is complaining about finance. Yet, you must run the church. If you engage the staff on full time, you will pay their salary. You will pay their allowances. You will make them to enjoy the benefits. So, that is another challenge. Another challenge is the challenge of relationship, relational. When you have multi-staff in a multi-staff setting, there's room for comparison. So, people can compare Reverend Dr. James with Reverend Dr. Adeola. People can begin to analyze. Reverend James is like this. Reverend Adeola is like this. When it was only Reverend James, it's only Reverend James. They have nobody to... If they will compare, maybe with people outside, at least those are outside, they are not. But when you now have people working side by side, people will begin to compare. And you know when there's comparison, you begin to like somebody for whatever reason. You begin to prefer somebody for whatever reason. You begin to prefer somebody who do something. I've had instances, some members of the church will say, please, I want to do this thing. It's only you that I want to. Please don't tell Reverend James. It's you that I prefer. And you know, in the same church, don't forget that there will come a time Reverend James will get to know that somebody did this thing. Say, ah, you did this thing, you didn't tell him. Say, ah, in fact, I told Reverend Adeola. I told him. Are you getting it? Now, I'm using practical example of myself and Reverend James because we work together. So what do I do, Reverend James? Because we understand each other. I'm going to do this thing for this person. I should not tell you, so don't bother to come. And there's no problem. We understand that there are people who prefer that it is this person that should come and do the same thing. They do it to Reverend James. They don't go and don't tell Reverend James, it's you that I want to. It's Reverend. No, only months of you. But we understand ourselves. So there's no problem with it. Alright? So, relational. It's unfortunate I was in Ibadan in a particular church. And on Saturday morning, two pastors living in the same building. The senior pastor is living on the ground floor. The junior pastor is living. And you are hearing the noise of their wives fighting. Because it's a church compound. And it's a pastoral. And I said to myself, if pastors cannot live together, Kai, that's a problem. Relational. Now, this ministry assignment, we bring you face to face with certain realities that will expose your differences. And so you must just understand we are different people. So both the ministers and the church members must understand individual differences. And you should just not allow that comparison to make you want to make A to fix and fit into B. Because they are different. You cannot expect that I should behave like Reverend James. Because I'm not Reverend James. He is Reverend James. I am Taye Adeola. Alright? So, there are people who say, ah, that Reverend Kai is so tough. You can't go to him. Reverend James is so easy. You can go to him. Okay. And there are those, in fact, their toughness in the radiola is what I like. Some people say, that all manners of things. All manners of things. People in multi-staff understand yourself. Now, in the midst of all of this, those of you who worked with us in Emmanuel Baptist Church, have you ever heard that me and Reverend James, we had any thoughts to any problem? No, you can never hear it. Because we understood what it takes. There's also the challenge of coordination. Each person operating in his areas of strength can lead to individuality. It can lead to personal pursuit. It can lead to self-organization. It can lead to empire building. So there must be proper coordination. If there's no coordination, everyone will just be on their own, doing their thing. But the need for multi-staff is for everyone in their area of strength, in their area of skillfulness, in their area of, you know, capacity to put or pull forces together to build the system. Not that each person will be running with personal, individual visions. That's also the challenge of administration. When there's administrative deficiency, especially in the lead person, in the lead pastor, there will always be a problem. You know, it's not everybody that is administratively good. And so, if there's going to be, you see, when there is organization, when there is people, then there is need for administration. Okay? When there is an organization and there are people to be coordinated, then there is need for administration. So whoever is the lead must learn administration. How to administer. That's close to coordination, but it's not exactly the same thing. There's also structural problem. The challenge of structure. Now, many times, people transit, most churches transit from a single person, a single staff, to multi-staff. And many times, it is without structure. They have not really sat down to have a structure of how is it going to run. Many people begin to think of the structure, you know, by coincidence. Some, they begin to come up with structures after they have had a bad experience. For example, a church had to sack two pastors because the two pastors were not working together in a multi-staff system. And so, they will now have to go and sit down before we now engage a new pastor, before you now bring other pastors. What is going to be the structure? Okay? So there must be a structure. If there is no structure well defined, there will be usurping of power. Duties will overlap. There can also be duplication of duties. There must be an organogram. There must be, you know, in the administrative cadre, you also have a structure of what must be done and how it will be done. Now, so the challenges are many, and they can generate different degrees of problem. Different degrees, financial, relational, different degrees of problem. But if we are going to run out of these problems, what are some suggestions in leading and blending multi-staff? Number one, lead with integrity of heart. Integrity is who you really are, different from what or who.
you want to present yourself or want people to believe that you are. To lead with integrity of heart.
Now, don't give a picture that I'm a loving, caring person. I care for every member of my team outside and inside.
You don't even care about them. You don't even think about them.
Integrity in matters of your spirituality. Integrity in matters of every expectation of God for you.
Integrity of heart.
Lead with humility. Whether you are a leader in the team or you are a member of the team, whether you are the senior or you are the junior, humility is very, very important. Now, in ministry, somebody will lead at every point in time. Everybody cannot be the leader. Now, everyone must learn the responsibility of a follower in humility, supporting whoever is there. Now, listen to me. As somebody in the academics, my student that I taught as an undergraduate, are you listening to me? My student that I taught as an undergraduate became my head of department. We became colleagues. He came into the academics. He became head of department. And he's head of department. So I will give him that respect as head of department. That office. That does not make him my senior. He still calls me Oga Oga. In fact, when I go to him with any responsibility, Oga, should have called me, I will come to your office. No, but it's not him, it is that office. Alright? So I cannot also, because I am your senior, I entered seminary before you, I graduated before you, but now, by privilege, you are the lead pastor. I will not begin to say, look, I'm your senior, so you are just pastor, and you will not respect him. No. Okay? Reverend James will always tell you, Reverend Adiola is older than me. I met him in Emmanuel Baptist Church. Are you listening to me? That is the reality. But by the grace of God, he became the church pastor in Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I respect him as the church pastor. It's not about I'm older than you. He also respects me in my capacity as a fellow minister, as a member of the team, and we work together to the glory of God. Lead by personal example. Lead by personal example. If you are a leader, lead by personal example. It's always good. In fact, you are bold to talk. You are bold. I won't say to my pastoral team, you must report in a service 30 minutes before a meeting, and I'm always there, you know, 10 minutes before it. So if I want them to be there 30 minutes before it, I'm there 35 minutes. So by that 30 minutes that I expect them to be there, they will meet me there. Lead by example. Recognize individual's personality. I've said that before. Individual's personality. And so don't cage everyone. Don't fix everyone into a box of same personality and expect that everybody must behave that way. No. Everybody cannot behave that way. Recognize. This is how Mr. A is, how Sister B is. Recognize individual's personality. Recognize individual's area of call. Individual's area of giftedness and abilities. And that is where you should allow them to function. So in multi-star, don't go and bring somebody who is not gifted in prayer to run prayer ministry. People will not come to pray. because it will kill that ministry, because that's not his area. And don't say because brother so-so-so is a pastor, he went to seminary, he should head our music ministry if he's not gifted in music. There are several people who are not pastors who are gifted. I tell my student in the faculty at the seminary, look, you will get there. You will find people who have never been to seminary to study music who are better than you in playing one instrument or the other. Respect them, recognize them, and you will use them. But you are still the music minister. But some music minister will begin to fight the gifted people, and they will scatter them. They will go away. They won't be able to build their music ministry. Number six, identify, recognize, and celebrate grace in all team members. Identify it, recognize it, and celebrate the grace in every of your team member. Alright? Even if it is your area of giftedness, and another team member is also gifted, celebrate the grace of God. Celebrate them. When you don't celebrate people, they will escape from you. They will go to where they will be celebrated. And there are people who think that by celebrating grace, you are diminishing yourself. No, you are not removing anything from yourself. You are not. It doesn't remove anything from you. Cast vision and allow the team to run with alignment. What do I mean by alignment? When you cast the vision, everybody will align with that vision. Not everybody doing different things. Everybody will pursue that vision. But you must cast it. It is the responsibility of the team leader to cast the vision. This is where we are going. So, the music minister will approach it from the musical angle. The Bible study group will approach it from that angle. The drama unit will approach it. They will all approach it in alignment. Ensure communication flow to avoid assumption and wrong conclusions. Always communicate. Let information flow. If there is no communication, people will assume and people will conclude wrongly. So, when you have a multi-staff ministry, you have a team, always ensure you bring people together, you tell them, you don't assume, so that they will not misread your intention. Let there always be flow of communication. Give room for all the team members to fully express themselves. Don't subdue people. Don't kill their zeal. Let them express. Now, if you are a leader that just always want to take the stage, even when they are trying to tell you, you cut them, you as if they will just keep it to themselves. Let them have full expression. Give them room to express themselves. Be a team player, not a boss. If you are a leader, be a team player, not a boss. The syndrome of I'm senior, I'm a guy, it will make you not really succeed. Be a good follower and a good team member if you are a follower. There is a part of the team leader, there is a part of the follower. Be a good follower and a team member. Be confident. Be secured. And don't feel intimidated or threatened by the excellent or outstanding performance of any member of the team. Whether you are a leader or you are a follower, feel secured. Don't feel threatened by anybody. There was a time in my ministry, I had to stand in for someone on a particular assignment. And when he came, everybody was saying, wonderful. This, he did this, he did that. That was the last time I had that opportunity to stand in for that person. Why? He felt threatened. They talk about him like this.
I won't allow him to do it.
Feel secure. Even as a follower, feel secured. Don't feel threatened by the excellent performance of others. Now, if you work as a team, you will understand that it is all, in this case, for the glory of God and the progress of your team. Respect your team members. Give due respect to every member of the team, either as a leader or as a follower, as a colleague. Respect your team members. Have a large heart as a leader to accommodate every team member with their peculiarities. Some will be wonderful, some will be fantastic, some will have issues, some will have flaws, some will perform excellently, some will perform not too excellently. Have a large heart. Always define roles and lines of duties. Delegate, regulate, and supervise as a leader. And as a follower, accept responsibilities, cooperate, and deliver. As a leader, delegate, learn to delegate. Regulate after you have delegated, and supervise. As a follower, accept responsibilities, cooperate with the leader and the team, and deliver on any assignment that you are given. Lead selflessly. Don't be self-centered. And then follow willingly. Don't be selfish. The leader leading selflessly, not self-centered. The follower following willingly, not being selfish. Be ministry focused and people inclined. Avoid unnecessary comparison and favoritism. Seek the good of all. Seek the welfare of all. Trust and be trustworthy. Trust people and also be trustworthy. Be somebody that can be trusted. The Lord will help us in times like this to blend in multi-staff ministry. There will be a time that you just must walk with somebody. You cannot but walk with somebody. Either somebody that's ahead of you, or somebody that is coming behind you, somebody whose senior you are, or whose junior you are. Now the spirit is that there must be togetherness. And in the context of the ministry, it is all for the glory of God. No competition. You need to complement one another, and the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. My time is up.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the play stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW, Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.